All right, everyone, here we go. The biggest birthday party radio has ever known, NBC's 15th anniversary, Free for All. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience. This is Graham McNamee inviting you to one of the grandest parties radio has ever thrown. A big three-hour free-for-all of songs, laughter, music, and fun. A party for the whole Western Hemisphere, arranged by NBC to celebrate with you its 15th birthday. So, let's have fun. The center of the celebration is NBC's new studio 6A in Radio City. But nearly 250 NBC-affiliated stations will take part. They're joined together by 27,000 miles of telephone circuits for the occasion, and shortwave will carry the fun to more than 100 Latin American stations. Yes, this is everyone's party. More than 2,000 people are pooling their efforts to make it a real success. Who are they? Well, there's Jack Benny, Fibber McGee and Molly, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Glenn Miller, Rudy Valley, the Quiz Kids, Bing Crosby, Irene Rich, Burns and Allen, Lum and Abner, and so on. Dozens and dozens of the biggest names in radio. We'll hear greetings from the War and Navy Department and from FCC Chairman Fly. There'll be music by the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps bands, well-known dance bands, and by Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra. And news? Yes, we'll bring you the latest bulletins from time to time throughout the show. What's more, you'll hear a specially arranged round-the-world get-together of NBC news commentators located on the far-flung battlefronts of the war. Nothing's been forgotten in this stupendous show. So, happy birthday, everyone. Enjoy yourselves. As always in American radio, the fun is free for all. Free for all is American radio, and free for all is the battle of wits whenever Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy meet before the microphone. America, here are two of your favorite sons.
Charlie, this is NBC's 15th anniversary, you know.
Yes, yes, I know.
Yes. Think of it 15 years ago.
That's a long time, isn't it?
Yes. Where were you then?
I was living in the country.
Yes, you were. Well, this is quite an occasion, Charlie, and I want you to be particularly well-behaved.
Well, aren't I always well-behaved, Mr. Bergen?
Well, no, Charlie. It hurts me to say it.
Yeah?
Yes.
What have I done? I ask you.
You ask me.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you.
That's enough, I know.
Yes, it is. Well, incidentally, my very best pearl-handled razor has mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah?
Yes. Did you happen to take it without my permission? Did you?
Mr. Bergen.
Yes.
None of us are perfect.
No, I understand that. I should say you're not.
No. Well, you know, Mr. Bergen, you have to be patient.
Well,
you see, I'm growing up, Mr. Bergen.
You're growing up?
Yes. You have to contend with that sort of thing. It's what you call adolescence.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
I see.
Adolescence, that's it. You know, you must try to be understanding.
Yes, I imagine so.
You see, I'm only trying to find myself.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. And don't think I ain't having fun.
No, I know. But you haven't explained what happened to my razor.
Well, you see, we needed it in our business.
Business?
Yeah, you see, Skinny and me just happened to be walking by Pete's junkyard.
Pete's junkyard.
Yes, you see. And we happened to see a barber chair on top of a pile of junk.
You happened to?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Barber chair.
Barber chair, yes. Pete didn't happen to be there.
He didn't?
No, didn't happen to be. So, can you guess the rest?
Yes, I think I can, yeah. I'd rather have you tell me, though.
Well, we happen to have a wagon with us.
A wagon with you?
Yes.
Yes, I see.
The chair just happened to fall right in our wagon.
It fell in your wagon?
Yeah. So I said to Skinny, shall we put it back?
You did.
I didn't say it loud, though.
No, I know. What did Skinny say?
Skinny said no.
He did.
Yes. See, it was his fault.
I see.
He said, no, that's fate, and let's take it. So we happened to take it.
Uh-huh. Everything seems to happen, doesn't it?
Yes. First thing we know, we were in the barber business. Now, Skinny and me are, we are what you call, barbaruses.
No.
Huh?
No.
Barbarians.
No.
Oh, yes, we are.
No. Barbarians are people who just as soon cut your throat as look at you.
Well, that's us. We came close to it, too. So we opened a McCarthy Dugan tonsillectomy parlor.
No. I can throw it. Tonsorial parlor.
Oh, all right.
Here.
And, well, anyway, we haven't opened it.
Yes.
And we call it Ye Old Clippy Joint.
Yes.
Stroppy Shoppy.
Yes. And now, where is this Stroppy Shoppy?
It's in Dugan's basement. Pardon the flattery, Bergen, but how about a haircut?
Well. Jolly. I'm a very busy man.
Yeah?
How long would it take you to give me a haircut?
Well, I'd say no time at all.
No time at all.
Yeah.
How quickly can you do it? What I mean is, will I have to take off my collar and my tie?
You won't even have to take your hat off.
Now, wait a minute. I don't think that's funny.
He's sensitive about his hair, you know. We've got a picture of you in our barbershop.
Oh, well, now, that's nice. A picture of me.
Uh-huh. I thought you'd like that.
Yes.
You know.
But why my picture?
Well, you know, the celebrities.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Well, that's nice.
Yes. I thought you'd fall for that.
Yes.
See, I tell them I know you. You don't mind, do you?
Well, of course not, no.
No, I thought you'd like that. See, we got a profile picture of you with your hat off.
Oh.
You know the one. The one where you look so handsome.
Oh, yes, I know that one.
See, he knows it. We put a sentimental inscription underneath it, too.
Yes? What did you write under the picture, Charlie?
Well, we just put, it says there, don't let this happen to you.
All right.
Thank you, Master McCarthy, and you, Edgar Bergen. Though we're not superstitious, we hope you'll continue knocking wood for many, many years. And now it's time for a great song and a great singer. Conrad Tebow, assisted by Frank Black and the symphony, sings Jerry Kern's old favorite, Old Man River.
Darkies all work on the Mississippi. Darkies all work while the white folks play. Pulling those boats from the dawn till sunset. Getting no rest till the judgment day. Let me go away from that Mississippi. Let me go away from that white man boss. Show me that stream called the River Jordan. That's the old stream that I'd like to kids a little drunk, and your lambs in tail. I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living and scared.
That was Conrad Thiebaud, beautifully rolling along with Old Man River. Our program, too, goes rolling along out to Chicago for a session with one of radio's outstanding phenomena. Phenomena is really the word, too, for no one in radio can quite fathom those quiz kids, with the exception of their genial mentor, Joe Kelly. Do your stuff, Joe.
Thank you, Graham, and hello, everybody. The quiz kids with me tonight are Richard Williams, age 11, Joan Bishop, 14, Harvey Fishman, 11, and Gerard Darrow, 9, the youngest stars in radio. Now, quiz kids, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let Richard do all the work tonight, and the rest of us are going to have a party. Now, Richard, listen to this problem. Suppose some 60 million people are listening to this NBC broadcast. Now, if we invited all these 60 million people to our party, and everyone shook hands with everyone else to congratulate him on being an NBC listener, but no one shook hands with anyone else twice, how many handshakes would there be altogether? And if the handshakes click off at the rate of 1 a second, how long must the party last to get everybody acquainted? And you have only a little while to get your answer, Richard, so you get to work.
Okay, Mr. Kelly.
All right, now the rest of you kids gather around here, around the piano. We'll try that little ditty of mine, Just Ask the Quiz Kids. Let's see if we're all in tune. Me, 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 me.
Me, 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 me.
Well, oh, say, by the way, Harvey, who was president 15 years ago when NBC was founded?
Calvin Coolidge.
That's right. And how old were you then, Harvey?
I wasn't.
Oh, that's right. You weren't born for four years. Now, let's get along with this song here. By the way, I've been wondering. Back when I was in school, all the little girls had beaus and all the little boys had girls that they were kind of sweet on. And Gerard, you don't have a girl, do you?
Oh, why, Mr. Kelly, of course I do. I have two of them.
Oh.
One of their names is Alice Acton and the other Peggy Billings.
Well, how do you like that? Two of them. Say, kids, you remember how this song goes, don't you? Now, we'll just start out like this. Why did London Bridge fall down? Is it true Jack broke his crown? Just ask the quiz kids. They know all the answers. Say, Joan, what was the last note I sang right then?
G.
Absolutely correct. Good for you. But now, wait a minute. I've just thought of something tough. Now, you turn your head, Joan, and here are the last three letters of an NBC station all played at the same time. Now, wait just a second. All right. What's the station?
May I have that again, Mr. Kelly? Those are ACE, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. You've got them twisted around a little bit.
Yes, I know I have. It's not in order.
It's KECA in Los Angeles. Well, that's wonderful, Joan. Well, let's get on with the song now. Let's start right at the beginning with the first verse. I want to show these folks who think you know a lot just what terrible singers you are. All right, here we go.
Lots of things have worried me since I was a child. I've searched in vain for answers till I'm almost wild.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm afraid we're a little bit off the beam tonight. I think we better stick to the questions. Richard, do you have that math problem? How are you coming along, son, huh?
Well, the answer would be 57,077,624 6/10 years before they would all have shaken hands.
Well, that's very, very good, Richard. That's fine. Did you want to give us anything further?
Well, there's a rule that for combinations of two, you would take the highest two numbers, the product of the highest two numbers to be combined over the lowest numbers, and And that would be, in this case, 59,999,999 times 60 million over 1 times 2.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's all solved, you get that they would have, it would be 1 quadrillion, 799 trillion, 999 billion, 970 million seconds before they would all have shaken hands. And then I divided that by the number of seconds in a year, which is 31,536,000, and got my answer. But then, of course, there was dividing by two and then multiplying out, and it was hard because of all that dividing.
Yes, it was quite difficult. That's the way I figured it out myself. That was correct, Richard. That was marvelous. I guess the idea of bringing all our listeners together for one party is a little impractical, so we'll all keep seated by our radios and listen to the rest of the program.
NBC's 15th annual birth party. A radio free for all continues from Washington, where we shall hear a brief message from the Undersecretary of War, the Honorable Robert P. Patterson.
Tonight, as I speak, a staff of NBC commentators and engineers is in the Carolinas, ready to report the final phase of the great Army maneuvers, which begin tomorrow at dawn. It is singularly appropriate that NBC should be celebrating its 15th anniversary on the same day it is preparing to tell the citizens of this country what their Army is doing and how well it is equipped. Radio has performed one of the most brilliant public services in its history in reporting the development, the training, and the achievements of the new Army of the United States. Tonight, I am glad to congratulate the members of the radio industry upon that splendid performance. They are members of a truly democratic industry, democratic in its belief in its people. Radio has taught us the importance of the role of the listeners of America. Each individual may think of himself as a small unit lost in a crowd, but together, those individuals determine national policy. Radio has made every American citizen a listener in the highest councils of the nation. More, it has given him a voice in those councils which he did not have before. Radio has helped to make this the best informed nation in the world. 15 years ago, each section of the country would get a different picture of a given situation, according to the papers it read. Only a few of the people got a picture of the whole situation. Now the entire nation has given the facts and given them impartially. All sides have a voice, and the nation is given that picture almost simultaneously. Thus, the program upon which the people decide is a more unified program. It is based on a more complete command of the facts. Everyone listening to my voice tonight is important, and radio has given you a large part of your power. It has broadened and strengthened the base of public opinion, and it has made it possible for the voice of the people to be heard around the world. In the totalitarian countries, that is not so. There, the common citizen is unimportant. All he can listen to is what he is told to listen to. He hears only what he is supposed to hear. he may be shot for listening to broadcasts from overseas. We celebrate this anniversary in a somber time, when forces of darkness are at large in the world. We have heard the voice of the men who lead the enslaved peoples and who would like to enslave us. The first and greatest weapon we have, which they would destroy the first, is the weapon of free, enlightened, and universal discussion, the voice of the people itself. And so, on this anniversary of the founding of the National Broadcasting Company, we underline the importance of the priceless gift each and every one of us has when he turns on his radio and is instantly in touch with what is going on in his government, what is going on in his army. That is one of the things we believe in keeping exactly as it is, and we are going to keep it that way.
No title for a march could be more appropriate for the Army Band than the United States Army March, composed by Captain Thomas Darcy, the conductor, who leads the Army Band now into the stirring measures of the United States Army March. Again, we give you Graham McNamee.
Irene Rich, Bing Crosby, Lumman Abner, Kay Kaiser, those are names to conjure with in radios. They're all stars of the NBC networks. You'll hear them all within the next few minutes. First, our greetings go winging across the continent to Hollywood and to one of the most charming women in radio, Miss Irene Rich.
Thank you, Graham McNamee. That was certainly nice winging all the way to Hollywood. I'm awfully glad to be here tonight to wish the National Broadcasting Company a happy birthday, a long life, and a successful one. When I was first told of this big 15th birthday anniversary party for NBC, my first thought was the enormous wealth of talent presented over these National Broadcasting Company networks every week. But somehow, I really never had realized how many stars of the air one hears over NBC. Not until I came into the studio tonight and saw with my own eyes this assembled mass of talent. And you know another thing? These stars have been around the artist corridors of NBC for a good many years. Must be that NBC keeps them happy and satisfied. For once NBC, always NBC. I know, because I've been NBC for nearly 9 years. And they're all here tonight, each with their own little gift package present for the National Broadcasting Company. I told you there was a massive assembled artist here tonight. Well, you're going to hear one now. One that certainly needs no introduction. One note, and you'll know who it is. So without further ado, I say, as Ken Carpenter says every Thursday, here's Bing Crosby.
I heard a lonely shepherd play. It was a haunting melody. I heard the music clearly say, that he was happy as could be. He played and he played. The world was forgotten, like castles in air. My every care began to fade. If he would only play forever, his little shepherd's serenade. The world was forgotten, like castles in air. My every care began to fade. If he would only play forever, Little Shepherd Serenade.
Nobody can do that but Bing Crosby. And how nicely Gordon Jenkins accompanied him. But here's somebody else who's bringing a birthday package of grand entertainment. Kentucky has its colonels, but the state of Arkansas has its ambassadors. Not the kind of ambassadors you generally picture with tall silk hats and cutaway coats, but simple, homespun ambassadors of goodwill. You know them as Lum and Abner, and they're waiting for you right now down in a little town of Pine Ridge, Arkansas. So stand by, America. Take it away, Pine Ridge.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear us? Hello?
Of course they can hear us. That's what they got all these wires hooked up for. Howdy, folks. This is Lum and Abner down here in Pine Ridge, and we want to wish you a happy
anniversary. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Abner, quit hollering.
Well, our voices has to carry a long ways, Lom. That's what they told us. Hello? Hello?
For goodness sakes, Abner. Hush up and let me do the talking. As I was saying, me and Abner wants to wish you a happy anniversary and...
Yes, sir. Happy anniversary to... Wait a minute, Lom. Who are we wishing this thing to?
Why, to NBC. Your 15th anniversary.
Oh, happy NBC? Who's that?
For goodness sakes, don't you know who NBC is?
Let's see, NBC. C. Now, who do we know what their name begins with a C? Oh, yeah, C-Strunk. Yeah, C-Strunk, yeah.
C-Strunk?
Why, of course. I ought to have got that sooner, but Lom's Esri's initials is E.J. C-Strunk, not N.B.
Abner, I ain't talking about Esri.
Well, he's the only C-Strunk. Oh, you mean old Newt?
Newt?
Yeah, old Newt B. C-Strunk. That's his initials, NBC. That's Esri's cousin, lives over at Cherry Hill. Don't you recollect him?
Of course I recollect him, but
so old Newt's been married 15 years. Well, I do. Hello, Newt, you old rascal. This is Abner. Abner Peabody.
Hey, shut up, Abner. Newt can't hear you.
Well, he can't. I better holler louder then. Hello, Newt!
No, I mean he ain't listening in.
Oh, why, he must be listening, Lump. This thing's being given his honor. Hello, Newt, old boy.
Abner, can't you understand? This ain't for Newt or any one feller. It's for a company. NBC's got a big company.
Well, natural on his anniversary. Elizabeth Miolas has a lot of company on ours, too, Lump.
I ain't talking about the company. I mean if...
Well, I doggy. We better go over and help old Newt celebrate. Better take him a present. Go over and join him, Lump.
Abner, will you listen to me for a second? This is the 15th anniversary.
I know it. The 15th. Now, which is it? Copper or silver or iron or what is it?
The 15th is for crystal, but that ain't got nothing
crystal.
To do with...
Let's see, what's a nice crystal for... Might get him a crystal for his watch, if he's got a watch. Hey, Newt, have you got a watch?
Abner, quit hollering and let me explain that NBC's a great big radio outfit.
Might... A big what, Lum?
Radio outfit.
Why, sure, yeah, good for you. That's just what we'll get him.
What are you talking about?
A radio, sure. If this is a crystal anniversary, we'll get him a crystal radio set.
For goodness sake.
I know just where we can get one, too. Cedric's got an old crystal set over at his place, one of the first ones in town. And I know he never used it. I'll run over and get it right now. Hey, Newt, just stay where you are. We'll be there in a few minutes.
Yeah, Newt, you wait right there. And while you're waiting, I want to wish NBC a happy anniversary from Abner and me. And we also want to thank them for all they've did for us in the past 11 years. Just hope they keep on making a success out of themselves in the future. Thank you and good night. This is Pine Ridge signing off.
Well, we've just taken you to Pine Ridge for Lum and Abner. But now we have another birthday package, all tied up in pretty musical ribbons on the other side of the continent. You all know what that means, chillens? That means Yitz Dance to the music of Kay Kaiser, who is playing at the dance for the 47th Regiment of the National Guard in the Memorial Auditorium in Buffalo.
Evening, folks. How y'all? Well, all of our gang join in wishing Niles Trammell and the entire NBC facilities a happy 15th anniversary. And the chillin', here we are in Buffalo tonight, and since I'm the honorary mayor of Buffalo for today and the chief of police as well as an honorary captain in the 74th Regiment, I can officially say congratulations from the city of Buffalo. Right, chillin'? That's fine. And now, we'd like to have you hear our version of Tonight We Love.
the moon beams down in dreamlight tonight. We touch the stars, love is ours. Night winds that sigh embrace the sky. Tonight we love.
Thanks to all of you, Irene Rich, Bing Crosby, Lumen Abner, and Kay Kaiser. We think you're great, all of us here in Studio 6A in Radio City. Incidentally, that charming MC job, just turned in by Irene Rich, reminds me that we've got another MC around here we'd like to put to work, if we can only find him around the place someplace. Will somebody please help me find him? He's dark and handsome, and he wears a neat black mustache. And he's known as one of the most traveled, best-informed, and well-liked commentators on the NBC network.
Oh, follow Thomas! Oh, follow Thomas!
Here, son, are you calling me?
Yes, Mr. Thomas, I am. Graham McNamee wants you to get to work.
No other Johnny can make that statement and make me like it. Thanks, Johnny. Just stick around for a few minutes, will you? And now we'll throw the cue to Washington to hear a greeting from the Honorable Frank Knox, Secretary of the Navy, who in turn will be introduced in typical service style by the U.S. Navy Band.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Frank Knox, Secretary of the United States Navy.
My old friend Niles Trammell, President of the National Broadcasting Company, ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy to participate in this anniversary observance for two specific reasons. First, to thank the National Broadcasting Company for its most willing and enthusiastic cooperation with the United States Navy on many separate occasions. Secondly, to add my tribute to countless others for the fine public service the American system of broadcasting has rendered during the present emergency. Today, radio finds itself in a position of greater importance to the nation than ever before in its brief but crowded history. Along with other modern media of information, the newspapers, the magazines, the films, and others, radio is doing its part to bring about that unity of determination, unity of effort, and unity of ideals, which must culminate in this nation's unity of purpose. When our national security is threatened, that is not a time to stop and argue over personal opinions. In this present hour, all of us must feel the desire to do his utmost for the common good. Our commander-in-chief, Franklin D. Roosevelt, has said that American waters and American rights will be protected. He has said to Hitler, "You must go no further." Your Navy has accepted those statements as orders. They are being carried out, and they are being carried out right now. As NBC brings my message to you, wherever you may be, under the protection of the Stars and Stripes, American seamen are at battle stations on their ships in the Atlantic. You and I know that those men are out there to let the world know that America means what she says, regardless of individual opinions. Out there on the ships of our Atlantic fleet, there is no difference of opinion. There is no attempt to undermine leadership. There are no shouts of "my way is right and all else is wrong." Aboard our ships and at our Atlantic bases, unity of determination, unity of effort, and unity of ideals prevails in the hearts of all, and it is given without asking. Surely, here on the home front, the guardians of our safety can expect no less.
The United States Navy Band and its director, Lieutenant Charles Benter, along with Assistant Leader Brendler, are familiar to all our listeners. They play one of Lieutenant Benter's original compositions, "All Hands," the United States Navy Band.
Of Stars continues on this radio free-for-all, which marks the 15th anniversary of the National Broadcasting Company. Right now, I'm going to call in... Oh, Johnny.
Yes, Mr. Thomas?
Johnny, it occurs to me that I should have thanked you back there a while ago for recognizing me from Graham McNamee's rather complicated description. You paid me a compliment by implication.
Oh, it was nothing, Mr. Thomas. It was no trouble. I can recognize anyone, and I mean anyone.
Oh, you can. Well, how did you acquire that rare ability?
Oh, just practice. Seeing them walk along the streets. Don't forget, I've been looking out of thousands of stall windows for a long time now.
Well, okay, Johnny, let's see how good you are. I'll describe a couple of good friends of mine, and you see if you can identify them. They're man and wife. They've been in radio a long time. They have more friends in and out of the trade than you can shake a microphone at. And here's a strong clue, Johnny. They are the stars of one of the most hilarious comedy programs on the NBC networks, despite the fact that the distaff side of the partnership insists each Tuesday evening that it ain't funny.
McGee, what are you doing? Huh? What are you doing?
Well, NBC is 15 years old, Dan. I'm giving it some long pants.
Oh.
Don't you get it, Molly? 15 years old?
Ain't funny, McGee.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear the one I got cooked up about their 25th anniversary.
I can hardly wait. But just imagine 15 years of broadcasting.
Yeah, it's wonderful, ain't it?
Yes, they've certainly come a long way from the headphones and crystal sets and... Be quiet, kids. I think I've got KDKA.
I'll say so. 15 years ago, who would have proboscicated anything like this?
You mean prognosticated.
Prognosticate means to chew your food good.
Nah, that's masticate, dearie.
Go on. Masticate is a big dog.
Nah, that's a mastiff.
Well, then what's proboscicate?
Well, I don't know, but proboscis means nose.
That's what I says. Everybody knows that it took 15 years hard work to build NBC up to where it is today now.
Well, now, don't tell me. Tell the president of the firm, Mr. Trammell.
You don't mean old Niles.
Sure.
Why, I know Niles very well. You see these two fingers?
Yeah.
Me and Niles are just like that.
Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you two boys run out and get a manicure?
Oh, hello, Mr. McGee. Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Why, hello, Mr. Wimple.
Come in and sit down, Wimp, old sock.
You sure I'm not intruding?
Not at all, Mr. Wimple. We're not doing a thing except standing around helping NBC talk about itself.
All righty. Though I can't stay but just a few minutes, I've got to take my wife down to the roller skating rink.
Oh. Your wife liked to roller skate, Wimple?
Oh, no, but she picks up $5 now and then on special occasions, acting as bouncer. But I thought I'd drop in and read you a poem I wrote about NBC's 15th anniversary.
Oh, well, that's fine, Mr. Wimple. I'd love to hear it. What's the name of it?
I call it A New Note in Broadcasting, or If You Were Just 15, Your Voice Would Be Changing, Too.
Sounds like something Tennyson might have written if he'd lived. But if he'd written that, he wouldn't have. Go ahead, Wimple.
Oh, NBC, you great big thing. 'Filling the air with jokes and swing, with shows that are sad and shows that are jolly. For instance, Fibber McGee and his wife.
Oh, just call me Molly.
Oh, may I? Thanks. For instance, Fibber McGee and Molly. Your programs are heard in every crime. I simply must get a radio sometime. The end.
That was very good, Wimple. Oh, don't hurry away.
Oh, I simply must, Mr. McGee. My wife has to be at the skating rink very shortly, you know.
Oh, well, yeah. Now, listen here. She won't have much to do as a bouncer tonight, Mr. Wimple. Everybody will be home listening to this big broadcast.
Well, that's why she must be there, Mrs. McGee. She's going to stand outside and bounce people in. Goodbye.
Well,
Look, Siri. If NBC is 15 years old today, how long have we been in radio?
Well, now, let me see. We've been almost, let's see. Zan lost his teeth in the hay in 1896. We've been 10 years on NBC, 7 years for Johnson's Wax, and let's see, we started in back in 1925.
Heavenly day, 16 years ago.
Yeah. Molly, yeah. You remember that first joke we ever did on the radio 16 years ago about the farmer that had the blue and white cow?
No, McGee, no.
What's the matter? It's clean.
No. We're doing that one next Tuesday night.
Oh. Good night.
Good night, all.
Oh, that's the grandest pair on the air. And I'll let you in a little secret. Tomorrow is Jim Jordan's birthday, so let's all wish him a happy birthday, too. Now, this is Irene Rich again, and I'm not writing a letter to dear John, but I am ready to introduce someone who's bringing you another really grand birthday present. You know, music is the universal language, and the melody of four beautiful voices blended together certainly tells its own stories. The Southern Airs, almost as old as NBC, they've been singing for us for more than 12 years. So now we hear them singing from New Orleans.
Way down upon the Howdy, friends. Me and the boys are happy and proud to have been a spoke in the wheel of the National Broadcasting Company since 1929. And friends, them 12 years have been pleasant ones for us. The announcers, the production men, and the sound effects fellas, and the engineers, and all the officials work with untiring efforts in bringing to the world the things that affect human activity. NBC, with its unseen rafters reaching far beyond the windowsills of glory. NBC, the pioneer and the current leader in public service. NBC, the promoter of art that knows no boundary. May you go on to broader fields and greener pastures. And now, friends, with Thanksgiving at hand, let us be grateful as we look to the Father of Light for guidance.
Jesus, Savior.
Thank you, Southern Airs, Fibber McGee and Molly and Irene Rich. All of you deserve the great success you've had in radio. Fabulous success, I'd say. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable James Lawrence Fly, Chairman of the Federal Communications Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Our generation has witnessed so many scientific achievements, such as the incandescent lamp, the automobile, the airplane, the radio, that we are inclined to take them for granted and seldom pause to pay tribute to the scientists who have made these possible. The radio receiver is not merely something you got at the store. It is the product of the human mind working at its best. May we not, in this brief moment, recall the role of the men behind your radio? First came the abstract scientist who laid the theoretical groundwork, Faraday, Clark Maxwell, and Hertz. Then Marconi, who first put radio waves to practical use. After that, such men as Alexanderson, Fessenden, Zworykin, Dupin, DeForest, Armstrong, and a whole battalion of less known but important men of science. Working anonymously in telephone, radio, and electrical laboratories everywhere, each has contributed a share in making radio possible. They are not all public figures, yet it is men of this caliber who form the shock troops of our modern civilization. Nor should the practical men who built upon these scientific achievements be forgotten. The men of the Bell system who first linked stations into a chain by telephone wires for simultaneous broadcasts. The Radio Corporation of America, born of a national emergency and growing better to serve in this another period of great national stress. The National Broadcasting Company, who just 15 years ago demonstrated the vision and the initiative to inaugurate the first nationwide network. Marked ability was theirs, and a perseverance born of faith. Today, broadcasting is both nation and worldwide, and its great impact falls upon us in peace and in war. An invention is in itself neither good nor evil. It is to be appraised in the light of its effect upon people. In the world today, we see radio used to spread the greatest evil and the highest good. To the National Broadcasting Company, its officers and staff, a well-earned happy birthday. And may we not, here in America, seize this significant moment again to resolve that the achievement of all of these men in radio shall be bent to serve the common good. Thus can we realize the benefits implicit in radio, and thus can we repay in some measure our debt to the men who have made broadcasts like this possible.
Many thanks to you, Commissioner Fly. And now, friends, the third of the great service musical organizations, the United States Marine Band, Captain William F. Santelman, leader. They play the Marine Corps March, Semper Fidelis, by John Philip Sousa.